Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to Faith Bible Church. Happy Mother's Day to everyone that's a mother. And I just want to say it's good to be back. It really is. Good to see the friendly faces, the saints. It's refreshing. This morning we're going to have our Bible lesson out of Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I think Romans chapter 4 is very interesting. I had a great Bible study when I was doing the Bible study here, preparing for the lesson. Romans chapter 4, verse 1, we're going to read down to verse 12. Just a second. I got my new glasses these days, so I better put them on. Okay. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 down to verse 12 reads, verse 1 says, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." Verse 5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works." Verse 7 saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Verse 9 says, "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision." Verse 11, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. For righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and time that we do enjoy looking into your blessed word, to be edified, to see the greatness of your great love, which you have done for us, Father God. Lord, I pray that your word would have free course, Lord, and the reality of it, Lord, would set in among those that need to be saved, and for them to believe it, Lord, and for the ones that believe it, Lord, that we may go from here rejoicing forevermore. In Jesus' name we give thanks unto thee. Amen. All right. Here at Faith Bible Church, we always rightly divide the word, as always. We do it because God tells us to do it and instructs us in the method in which God teaches us his word. So it's so important to understand salvation by grace today. What we're dealing with here in Romans chapter 4, the issue here is salvation. And the magnitude of what God has done is just fascinating. So what we intend to do this morning is to get the edification of the scriptures so we can go rejoicing from here forevermore. Here, Romans chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle Paul raises a question about Abraham. God did a marvelous thing when he saved us. He did a marvelous thing when he saved Abraham. What God did, he takes it all the way from the beginning, the book of Genesis, and he talks about a man named Abram. This man, Abram, was a Gentile at the time. Over in Genesis chapter 15, you go back there, you'll look, and you see that he was yet uncircumcised. God took this man, Abraham, and made him a father of many nations, not just one nation, but all nations. He blessed him. He told Abraham that I'm going to bless you and make you a father of many families on the earth. And the Apostle Paul in verse 1 raises the question, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? He raises the question. He says, Abraham has found something here. And we all need to know exactly what Abraham found as pertaining to the flesh. Verse 2 says, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. And as you and I look out through the world, there's so many different types of religion that are not even in the Bible. You can take your pick. If I was to set them all up here on the table here and match them up regarding with the book, you'll see that none of them are there. And all these religions that you have out there, most of them teach that there is some type of work you must do for your salvation. And most of the religions out there, they themselves don't even agree with each other. So it's imperative that we believe the truth and not this world, because this world is going to teach you something totally different than what the Bible is going to teach you, especially about salvation. Your soul that needs to be saved throughout all eternity. It's the most important thing that anyone can ever think about in their lifetime. Why they have breath in their body, because eternity is forever. And to make that crucial wrong decision that you cannot come back and correct, that's the most awfulest thing that a person can do, is to die lost and be not found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, for what said the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted on him for righteousness. There's no works there. He simply believed in what God said. He did it by faith. And faith is not a work. The Bible makes that definition very clear, that faith itself is not a work. Now, the religious world, they would try to have you to believe that you got to do something for yourself. You got to do something to help God save you. See, most people feel that either they want to feel like they saved, they want to have some type of ceremonious type of air about themselves, or something that they can show that they prove that they're saved. But this is not the case when we look in the Word of God here. Now, the Bible teaches that faith is not a work. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, let's go there for a second. Book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There is no works there for you to be saved whatsoever. See, God has made it so easy for us today to get saved that it's almost unbelievable. But the problem is what these preachers are teaching these days. The religious world, you know what they do? They have people saying, well, when you get saved, you can't do this and you can't do that. A lot of people refuse to come to churches or even get saved because they feel like somebody's taking something from them, that they can't do the things that they like to do, as far as sinful things. You know, some people are just terrified that if I don't walk a certain way, I can't merit myself into heaven. And then they don't believe that a sinner or someone who's not walking according to how they think they should walk, that they can go to the same heaven as they. These are self-righteous people, religious people, who try to clean themselves up so they can feel like they can merit heaven. You know, it reminds me of a self-cleaning oven. That thing don't work all the time. People can be like that. You get yourself cleaned up, and you get it going, and you get it to where you don't have to do nothing. Just let it clean itself. But it doesn't do a good job, because it's going to be a bit of a speck of dirt there when you finish, some grime there, and there, and there, and so forth. You know, self-righteous people, that's what they're like. The Bible teaches us nothing is clean of itself. Nothing. Nothing can clean itself. In our case, we need the Lord Jesus Christ to clean us up, save us, take our sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west, without any work, without helping God, doing it by faith. Let's go back to Romans 4. And furthermore, you know, I talk to preachers sometimes, you know, religious people, just to see where their heads are and what they feel about the Bible. And, you know, and what they teach, and they keep people all confused and lost. You know, and I say, salvation is by grace through faith alone, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Least any man should boast. But you say that I got to do something to be saved, to prove that I'm saved, and to stay saved. And it's just simply not here. So I raise a question to him. I say, well, how many times must I do something wrong in order to be saved again? If I do something wrong here, how many times can I do this wrong and get lost and be lost when I do it and then turn around and get saved again? See, that answer is going to vary from preacher to preacher, these religious preachers. It's going to vary because I want to tell you, well, you can get away with doing it once. They all agree about that. Now, you do that wrong thing again twice, then as well, you know, I don't know now. You know, it starts to vary. See, and then you do it the third time, and most of them be like, I don't know, you know, that three strikes out type of rule, you know. You can't be saved. But as we look at the Bible, we see that simply is not true. Verse 4 says, now him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believe on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You know, it's fascinating to me. It's so wonderful to me that I have the Holy Spirit that can teaches us all things in the Lord Jesus Christ. It magnifies the depths and the multitude of the great love of God that he has for us. That is just simply almost unbelievable. And you got a lot of people that just don't see that in the Word of God, because they feel that it's just too easy. I mean, too simple. It's too easy. But look at verse 6 here. What the Holy Spirit done in verse 6 here, it took a Bible figure, a man like David. And the example that he uses is a man, a notable man in the Bible. He did something that I don't think any of us have done here. I don't think so. He committed murder. So we don't even have to start with the adultery. Murder is something that he did. Sin, a sinner of sin. Murder. That's the ultimate. Murder. To go out and murder someone. And furthermore, he not only murdered this man, an honorable man, he had sex with this man's wife and got her pregnant. He plotted, he schemed to cover it up. David broke the law. David was to be stoned to death. David had no way out for an atonement for his sins. There was simply no way David can get out of this. Absolutely no way. For what he had did. Plotted, schemed, and murdered a man. Verse 6 says, even as David also described it, the blessing of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Here we got this man David, sinner now, did an unthinkable thing that you and I probably wouldn't do. But, you know, you can't put no confidence in the flesh. The right circumstances, the right issues come along, and this flesh just would do just about anything. Because God says, have no confidence in the flesh. But here, without God's grace, David couldn't get saved. God had to take his righteousness and David's works that he did, he had to get rid of one of them. They both could not coexist together, grace and David's works. David could not have any type of atonement for his sins. God had to blot them out, save him by grace through faith alone. And the same is with David, it's the same with us. We're children of natures by wrath. So when we're born in this world, we serve sin. God had to deliver us from the bondage of sin. He had to, because we could not do it ourselves. And the Holy Spirit here uses this great man David to show that how he committed a sin that, like I said, most of us have not committed or will not commit unless there's the right formula for it. We can do it. But then people say, well, you know, how can a murderer go to the same heaven as me? The Jehovah's Witness, these are some good people, but in false doctrine. I've denied myself from doing this. I've denied myself from doing that. And how can this man here, who has done this and done that and so forth, go to the same heaven that I'm going to? What is it that you want to do? You have the liberty to do it. You can do it. But there's consequences behind what you do. Always consequences behind what you do. But my point here is what I'm trying to say to you is that the only way you can be saved is by God's grace. If it wasn't for God's grace, we'd all be dead. And you got the multitude of these people out here working every day. Just imagine you as a person who don't know this gospel, that don't believe once saved, always saved, that you got to work for your salvation. To me, that's a torment all in itself, because I get up one morning, I don't feel so great. I got mental sins going on inside my head. How am I going to get rid of those? And we sin every day. See, that's why it's important for you to read the Word of God, those instructions that's going to help you cope with everyday life. It's going to let you know that God loves me unconditionally. Unconditionally. And here's the power of grace. The power of grace gives you that power to do whatever so you want. Sure, you can do it. You can go through, you can go past. It leaves the door open for you to do whatever you want. and you're still saved. But the power, the grace of God also gives you the ability to walk past those doors that's open and say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. God leaves it up to you to mortify the deeds of the flesh. He leaves it up to you to walk circumspectly. He leaves it up to you to present yourselves, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Because of His great love and the power of grace, you don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Let's take a look at it real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And come down with me and get verse 9. Verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infinites, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Verse 10 says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Verse 12 says, all things are lawful unto me. The power of grace leaves that door open that all things are lawful unto you. You can do them. As I said, no doubt about it. Because grace is what it is. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abounding. There's nothing you can do that can separate you from the love of God once you get saved. Verse 12, for all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. See, it's not expedient for you to go do all things. Because you know why? God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There are some consequences. But your soul will never see a hot hell. Never see it. Because God saved you once and for all. That ultimate sacrifice, the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He paid that sin debt with the shedding of His blood. Nothing you can do to help God out. Verse 12 says, but all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He says, I'm not going to be brought under the power of any of these fleshly things here. Because God has given you the victory over all these fleshly sins. It's your choice. It's your choice. If you decide to do what you do, but you'll never see a hot hell. Be banished from a loving, just, almighty God throughout all eternity. No, you'll never see that. Though that is for unbelievers, people who refuse to accept the doctrine of the gospel of the grace of God. Once saved, always saved. People who think they can work for their salvation, they are sorely mistaken. And you know what? God calls it a free gift that He wants to give you. People love to get free money. Oh, whew. You get away free money, no problem. There's no problem in accepting that. But now we're talking about when you take your last breath on this earth. Isn't that very important? Isn't that very important? Let's not talk about what kind of job you got, what big house you got, what kind of car you're driving. Let's think and talk about our soul. Just take one moment. That's all it takes to get saved throughout all eternity. 1 second, a moment in time. And you got people that live on the earth 100 years, 60, 70 years. And you know what? They never Some of them have never taken just a moment out of time to think about their eternal salvation. Something that is so simple and easy to get saved, and you don't have to work for it. I found out myself, there is something more important than money, rubies, gold, diamonds, anything you can find on this earth. You know what that is? Obedience to God. Obedience to the Lord. Faith is simply believing that you are a sinner when you came out your mother's womb into a world that was already a world of woe. And how you get out of it is by putting simple faith in the death, burial, and resurrection, trusting in the living God, trusting in His Word by faith. Believe the record. You don't have to see it. You don't have to prove to anybody anything. God has a justice system that He instituted, that's instituted that He saves anybody that believes that He is their Savior. And he does it because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on Him should not be ashamed. And He takes this man David as an example, someone, a king, who has much more prestige and power and influence than we would ever have. But the same is true of David, it's the same true of you and me when we come out of our mother's womb. Sinners, a child of wrath by nature, in bondage to our flesh, sins of the world, elements of the world, and God takes them and just casts them away. It's so fascinating to me. The free gift. A free gift. That's beautiful to me. Let's go back to Romans chapter 4. And verse 7 says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. God had to cover it up because David's works could not coexist with God's grace. You either got one or the other. All of one or all of the other. In the church, the body of Christ. You know what else? We read Paul's epistles. There was a man named Saul, persecutor, injurious person, murderer. He could not get saved without God's grace either. There was no possible way that Saul could have gotten saved if God wouldn't have stepped in and cleaned him up and used him to preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God. A salvation without works. A salvation that saves you throughout all eternity. Blessed is the man whom the Lord would not impute sin. Verse 8, see, that's me. If you save, that's you. Blessed are you. Blessed. And no one can take it from you. Despite of what you might do today when we leave here. Despite of what you might do tomorrow. God has saved us. Washed our sins away. Took all your sins away. Past, present, and future. In verse 9 says, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? Verse 9 says, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Right here in verse 9, the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. Verse 9 is a dispensational reckoning. It's a dispensational change in Paul's epistles that you must note in order to understand this great salvation by grace through faith alone. He says, for we say. You know why it's a dispensational change here in Paul's epistle? We say is because Matthew doesn't say that. James doesn't say that. James doesn't say that we say faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. You know what James says? James says faith without works is dead. Now you understand why it's so important for you to rightly divide God's word, to get the edification out of it. What was written to you and what was written to the nation of Israel. You can't take and mix the two together and taste God's word and say, God wrote this for me. The all of the Bible is to me and for me, because now you're going to have a contradiction in the word of God. Now you're going to trip and fall and slip and take God's word, apply it to you, and he never said it to you. For we say, the Apostle Paul uses this to the members of the church, the body of Christ, and to them alone, both Jew and Gentiles, which are in the church, the body of Christ. This dispensational change proved the point that God is not doing what he did in time past as what he's doing now. If you're going to get the edification out of God's word to you today, you must read Paul's epistles, the book of Romans through Philemon. This information guides your life. Have faith in what God said to you as a Gentile, as a Jew today. You may not understand it all, but you stand on it and trust it, and you'll see a difference. You get that sound doctrine inside you, and you'll be able to recognize and discern some things about what's true and what's not true. Well, let me elaborate a little bit more on verse 9. It says, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. That dispensational change is noted because James doesn't say that. Let's go to the book of James real fast. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 1. James chapter 1, verse 1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. It doesn't say to the church, the body of Christ. It says to a specific group of people here. This scattering abroad took place, you read over there in Acts chapter 8, after the stoning of the death of Stephen, that those Jews were scattered abroad. In Acts chapter 11, verse 19, it says that the apostles was preaching to the Jews only, never to the Gentiles during that time. So this dispensational change that took place in Romans chapter 4, verse 9, is very important. It's very important to note it. Because here you have, in Romans chapter 4, work and grace not coexisting together in the dispensation of grace. And that's why Paul can say, for we say. Now, when you leave Paul's epistles, there's no more we say. Because James is going to say, let's go to James chapter 2 and come down to verse 4. James chapter 2, verse 14, says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now, does that sound like what Paul just said? No, it doesn't. Now we have faith and works coexisting together. But it's not to the church, the body of Christ. It's to the nation of Israel. It's to that 12 tribe, and we are not part of any one of those tribes. And I thank God for that, because I don't know which tribe I would be a part of if I had to know. Just be a member of the church, the body of Christ. It says, what does it profit a man? What does it profit, my brother, Though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? Here's the argument here. This verse is about salvation as well. You know, you can recognize if a person was saved or lost in time past. And what I mean by that, as opposed of today, like I said, a person gets saved today and don't have to tell a soul. He just believes in his heart and trust the word. And God will save him. That's God's job. And he'll do it. But in time past, when we read in our Bible, when we see here, when he said, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? In time past, we can go in the book of Genesis and recognize when a man got saved because of what God told him at that time. Two brothers, Cain and Abel. We can recognize one got saved, the other one died and went to hell. Because at that time, God says, bring a sacrifice that's acceptable to me. One decided to bring the best fruit of the ground. That's not what God wanted. God wanted an animal sacrifice. So I can clearly say at that time, Abel got saved. Because it was God's justice system at that time. I can see and move along in the Bible progressively, and I can see in Matthew the issue was raised. Good master, what must I do to be saved? The issue of salvation. Honor thy mother and thy father. These were the instructions. Keep the law. Sell all that you have. Take up your cross and follow me. That was the instructions to be saved. In the church, the body of Christ today, salvation is a free gift, no works. Over here in James' epistles, we see salvation and faith are working together. You see the dispensational changes here? It's very dangerous for you to go in your Bible and you just start reading anywhere and say it's to me. Because now you're being scriptural, but not dispensationally, and now you can't understand your Bible, and you never will when you do this like this. Because you're not doing what God told you to do in 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, study. Show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You take this Bible as a Gentile, the instructions and information God gave to you, is what you charge God to for what he said to you as a member of the church, the body of Christ. But we can rest and stand assured that Paul's epistles is the correct one for today. No doubt about it. No mistake about it. Because the Holy Spirit itself is rightly dividing the word. And when you look, and when God looks down from heaven's glory, he sees, when you read your Bible, Jew, Gentiles. There's no other two groups of people in the Bible. From cover to cover. So you know you're a Gentile, and Paul makes it very clear that I am the apostle of the Gentiles. But I'm going to go ahead and read James. In verse 5 it says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? When he makes the argument and say, Well, wasn't Abraham? We just looked at Abraham over in Romans chapter 4, how what he has found, and it says that he found righteousness without works. Now here James is arguing that, well, Abraham is my father too, isn't he? Sure he is. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? It's fascinating what God took this man, made him a father of many nations. He used him as a dual role, I should may add. He left his foot in the door to save the Gentiles through faith, and he also left his foot in the door to save the uncircumcision by faith in Christ Jesus. He took this two purpose because the nation of Israel is a covenant people. In Genesis chapter 15, he was uncircumcised and got saved. No covenant for the Gentiles. In Genesis chapter 17, now he made a covenant between Abraham and his seed to bless them forever. Now we can see the nation of Israel, this covenant people, why he can say faith without works is dead. Because Abraham did offer Isaac upon the altar. And he became the friend of God. But because God instituted works with the nation of Israel, but with the Gentiles, he did not. But I see I'm running out of time, but I'm just going to read down to verse 26. We have a closing in a word of prayer. Verse 21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou hast faith wrought with his works, and by works faith made perfect. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, that he was called the friend of God. Verse 24 says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messenger, and has sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead. Thank God we don't have to work for our salvation today. But I read that because there is a difference in our Bible, and it's very important where we read to understand what is to us and what is not to us. And it's simple to get saved. Just believe in your heart that you're the sinner, God is the Savior, that he bled, died, suffered, rose again the third day, and salvation is yours throughout all eternity. And you can go out and do whatever you please, if you choose to. But I wouldn't recommend it. Amen. Let's bow our head in word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for thy great word, Lord. I pray, Father God, that your record would be believed, Father God, and we can just rest in the finished work which you did at Calvary's cross, and have our souls just at rest, knowing that we are saved throughout all eternity, Lord, despite of who and what we are, Father God, that we don't have to worry, Lord, about that, Father God. You have taken care of it, Lord. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. Yeah.